1,200 teams, but 120 teams were of public school teachers, which was amazing. So we changed how we worked, and we said, you know what, we want to give back to education, we want to give back to public schools. So this year we're able to give back to 11 schools, $1,000 each, and with this we allow the schools to keep that money for their school and for their students and their programs. So we're really excited to do that tonight. So I want to introduce a few people. We have three schools. We have two of them with us tonight. The third school actually already had a presentation at their school this week. So the teams that are here tonight, we have Team Conifer High School Dudes. Awesome. It's important to have a really, really cool team name because it makes you run faster. Remember, there are 19,000 runners, and there were 1,200 teams, and you're looking at probably in the top 50 teams across all divisions and the top 11 out of those 120 for schools. So this is really fast people up here. We got Ben Anderson, Dave Shirk, Owen Volsky, Brian Bunnell, Greg Tritch. Is that correct? Yep. Dakota Ridge Racers, they're not here tonight from Dakota Ridge High School. Their members were Kirsten Skolon, Brian Plautz, Karina Wilson, Jason Casanova, and Amy Ziegler. And then we have Bear Creek Green. And we have Jennifer Ritzke, Zach Clark, Kelly Donahay, Renee Otero, Stephanie Payne, and happy to have you join us, Principal Jason Smith. So let's talk about how fast these guys run. You guys are interested? So, third place with 3:19.58. Congratulations in the public school division. That was actually quite fast. You're up there with the firefighters, so very good. And hold on to your $1,000 check. Oh, I got it backwards. That's Conifer High School. Sorry about that. And then Dakota Ridge Racers finished in a time of 3:27. They're in sixth place. And Bear Creek Green finished in a time of 3:51.04, receiving 11th place. And because we're schools and we think it's fun, we gave them all $1,000 rather than... So congratulations. We hope you spend the money well. We're really, really excited. And we hope that more schools join us this year and next year. And again, 19,000 runners. So look at some of your fastest runners in the school district. Congratulations.
And on behalf of Jefferson County Public Schools, I would like to thank Kaiser Permanente for their support of our wellness program and their support of our community at large. Thank you. We now move to an agenda item 5 that we have changed the title on. We are now going to call it Leadership Reports. We are calling it Leadership Reports because we have changed it slightly, and we're going to begin each one of these. This is an opportunity for the board to share things that they have been doing in the last month or so in meetings that they've been attending. We have decided to add a superintendent's report, and so tonight we're going to begin with the superintendent's report. Dr. Glass.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have in the other boards that I've worked with done this sort of report, so I'll walk you through a format that I use, and I think after this meeting we can talk about what you liked and didn't like, and then we can customize this presentation and this time to something that's useful for you. But I wanted to start off with an idea, and that is an idea around how we take the complexity of the work that we're trying to do and present it to our community and our staff in a way that compels action, builds consensus, and clarifies the direction that we're taking and the things that we're trying to do. And I think when we heard from the principals here tonight, from some of our bright spots in Jeffco around the approaches that they took, you heard a lot of common things. And really, what we got was a master class in how to do it. That was some of the best examples that we have in our community and across the state around how you build a high-quality, high-flying education system. And those lessons apply across all education systems. They're really lessons that are foundational. And I wanted to, I didn't do this beforehand, but I wanted to talk about, I put together this awful and cheap-looking graphic that is going to get better, I promise. But it's a beginning of a way to convey what we're trying to do and present it to people in a way that they can understand. And I want to point out what's in the middle first, and that is learning. And within learning, you heard a lot of conversations around what the students were doing with the folks that were here tonight. And some of them I'll read to you, and I apologize for looking up and taking these on and off. These are new for me, so that's it's a hard thing. But you heard about student work and a focus on student work and students setting their own goals and understanding their own progress, problem and project-based learning with content knowledge and content expertise as part of that, intentional engagement strategies, intentional processes around the individualization and customization of instruction that are responsive to student needs. You also heard about intentionally embedding things like curiosity, collaboration, productive struggle, asking students to think and go deeper, critical thinking, letting go and empowering students in their own learning, authentic learning and meaningful tasks. All of that stuff fits in that central area. And thinking about, are we changing the experience that the student is having through learning? So if we're not really changing that, nothing is really different. And so as we think about a model for how we want to communicate what we're trying to do and what we're asking our educators to do, what we're asking our community to support, it starts with that central element of learning. And again, we got a master class on the things that need to be in that center from our principals tonight. We also heard about some conditions for learning, or things that you have to get in place and get right in order for student learning to really take off. And you heard a lot about a professional model of teaching, where educators are empowered, where the district nor the state is coming in and telling them what to do. We're actually empowering them to decide what are the things that you need to work on and what's the right fit and what's the right focus for your building and your students, and giving the staff the ability to decide that and time to work and collaborate together. Those PLCs, collaboration time that were staff-driven, recognizing the tremendous expertise that we have with our educators within JEFCO. Respect for the staff, intentional coaching and feedback mechanisms, high expectations for students and systems that were aligned to those high expectations, clear and consistent strategic procedures that were in place in the buildings. All of these create the conditions where great learning takes place. And then we move to this outer ring, the readiness for learning. And then really it's a question of how do we get our kids to school ready to learn and in school ready to engage. And we heard things like preschool programs, a strong community system of schools, relationships within the people in the building and across the community, counseling supports, strong and positive culture in the building and with the community, and a supportive relationship with other community organizations. All of those things get to that readiness to learn. What you heard here, as Mr. Chair pointed out, there were no silver bullets. There were no quick fixes. And I asked them how long they had been in their roles and how long they had been in their schools. I didn't hear anybody that said that they'd been there for 6 months or a year and they pulled this off overnight. So I heard stability of vision, stability of leadership. Folks, these are the foundations. This is blocking and tackling when it comes to building a great education system. The recipe is there. We heard it tonight. Now our work as an organization, as your leadership and as the Board of Education, is to think about how do we scale those same sort of practices across our whole organization. So I just wanted to take a minute and talk about where I'm headed and trying to think about how we can present the ideas that we heard tonight in a way that clarifies them and compels people to act. I also wanted to walk you through just some things that I've been up to and doing, and I'll highlight just a couple of these because there has been a lot going on. And the period of time that I'll cover is really since our last board meeting, so since the 24th of August, just some things that I've been doing, and some of you have accompanied me on those. I visited the Brady Exploration School and had a wonderful conversation with some recovered dropouts, and you wanted to get some real information about student tasks and authentic things kids are doing. They told us about how they got re-engaged in education, how they got excited about education. Interestingly, when we asked them, how do you learn best or what re-engaged you, it was almost the same list of that we got from a couple of weeks before from some of our students that were recent graduates who were heading to some prestigious colleges in Colorado and across the country. It was almost the same thing. So there is a sort of consistency around what's in that center part again around learning and how kids do that best. I met with charter school principals and had a great conversation with them. We also had my first all leadership meeting with the principals and district leaders. I met with the leaders from JESPA, and we talked some about how we might extend this idea of empowering and supporting our professionals to our support personnel as well. I met with representatives from the Rose Community Foundation, who after a few years of being disengaged with JEFCO are interested in re-engaging with us. And so we talked about what some of their priorities were and where we were headed as an organization, and agreed to meet again and talk about how we could partner together on some strategic initiatives that Rose was interested in and the district was also interested in. I met with the Financial Oversight Committee, who is interested in sharing with you some of the work that they're doing, but also having a greater voice in the community to recognize some of the positive financial practices that are in place in JEFCO and share that with the larger community beyond just the Board of Education. So we're going to support them in doing that. And then finally, we had board candidate briefing, both with the incumbents, those of you that are here that are running for re-election, and the challengers that were running. And I just wish to report to you that the conversations were respectful, civil, engaged, and I'm really impressed with the quality of all of the people running for the Board of Education. So it was just a testament to how far you've come as an organization and as a community. Some community news and highlights. I had a chance to meet with the Jefferson Success Pathway Council. It's a group of, again, that sort of readiness to learn, that outer ring, and thinking about how, as a community, we can come together and support our schools. I visited the Frank DeAngelis Center with Representative Diana DeGette, and Mr. Chair was there, as was our board secretary. Yeah, thank you. It was just a great experience learning how that school had been transformed into a training center for law enforcement around preventing school violence. I had a meeting with Co Alice, who's the Colorado Association of Latino Administrators, and talked about how we could partner with them in recruiting and recruiting more Latino and minority educators into the profession and hanging on to the ones that we have. I had a great conversation with the JEFCO Schools Foundation Board about how we could grow and increase the capacity of that organization. I think it's got a lot of potential if we really work on it. Had a conversation with Colorado Succeeds, which is a coalition of business entities across the state of Colorado. It's really part of a national network, and their executive director, Scott LeBand, around where our priorities were aligned and where we might work together. Attended the Westminster State of the City report and heard Mayor Acheson's report on how Westminster is doing a lot of exciting things happening in that community. Attended a law enforcement meeting and met all the law enforcement leaders from across JEFCO, and that's a real strength here. You probably know that, but just coming in with an outside set of eyes, you have a really positive, collaborative relationship with law enforcement and JEFCO that is really something that both law enforcement and the school district should be proud of. And then this morning, Diana Wilson and I visited several media outlets, and we didn't have an agenda or anything that we wanted to talk about. We just wanted to say hi and to let them know that if there were questions questions or stories that they had, we were available to them, and we were committed to being available and responsive to the media. We've also, and Diana's team is working on this, is putting together a weekly list of leads and sending that out to media across the entire state, and in particular here in Jeffco, to give our news agencies ideas about things that are happening in our schools. And we've had several of those stories already picked up by media outlets, and these folks were aware of that, and we're really appreciative. So I have another round of that still coming up. And then at the state and national level, of course, the big news yesterday was that President Trump announced that, or it was Tuesday, I guess, President Trump announced that he was ending the DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And the practical effect of that is nothing immediately, because the president put in a six-month delay on that. But what will happen in March of 2018 is that children and young adults, young people who were brought into the United States as children that were able to work and study in the United States will begin losing their legal status and be subject to confinement and deportation because of that status. So we have 6 months for Congress to take action on this. There was some encouraging news as we heard that Senator Bennett and Senator Gardner had started working together on a bipartisan effort, and I think we've heard from former President Obama as well as Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, there's a desire to address this issue that goes across both parties, and so I'm optimistic about that, and Jeffco will certainly lend its support and pressure our congressional delegation to take action on this important issue. We did send a memo out through our principals to families, letting them know that Jeffco remains open and committed to serving all children and all families in our community. That's part of our moral purpose as a public school system, that we welcome and accept all families. We will continue to do that, that this DACA decision doesn't change that commitment or that obligation that we have. We have a responsibility to advocate on behalf of children and families in our community, and this DACA decision could negatively impact the opportunities that our kids have going forward, and so we will stand up and advocate on behalf of them. So that's the DACA situation, and then as you're aware, we have two terrible natural disasters. One has occurred and the cleanup is happening. The other is impending with Hurricanes Harvey and Irma affecting Texas and the Caribbean and Florida. So we may have students and families who are displaced because of that. We did, Jeffco did experience some of that in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. So we had families that left the New Orleans and Louisiana area that resettled here and were welcomed into our schools. And so we've already started contacting our principals to let them know we may have the same impact here, especially of large metropolitan areas like Houston and Miami, especially with the Texas area. There's so many family connections between Colorado and Texas. We may see an influx of students and families that are impacted by these natural disasters. And we want to, because we're compassionate human beings, welcome these families into our community and do our best to serve them. So that's just some state and national highlights. Looking ahead, I won't read all of this, but this is my next 2 weeks, just some highlights from those things. So I'm meeting with Senator Sherry John, meeting with Griff Worth, former principal at Wheat Ridge High School, several other meetings that are happening on there. And we're also continuing those conversations with the media down toward the bottom. I am appearing on TV8, I guess, next week with Mayor Mark Williams. I've heard that it's kind of like being on the Jimmy Fallon show, so I don't know how that's going to go, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. The CASE Superintendent Conference annual meeting is happening, so that's on the night of a board meeting, but I will be coming back and be in attendance at the board meeting that night. And I wanted to end with this, and I'll try to do something like this every time. And this quote, "If it's not happening in the classroom, it's not happening," comes from a Harvard professor named Dick Elmore. And what he means by that is we can have lots of conversations about the things that we think are occurring as a school organization or our strategies or the things that we want to affect in our communities and in our schools. But if it's really not changing the experience of the student, if it's not happening in the classroom, that it's not happening. And so as we think about our strategies and the things that we're trying to execute as an organization, we have to find evidence that that's actually being delivered and changes are occurring in the classroom. So I'll try to bring you some examples of the things that we're talking about and the things that we're trying to execute and carry out in JeffCo, and bring you some examples of that to conclude my report every couple of weeks. And with that, Mr. Chair, that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Dr. Glass. We'll go now to board reports. I think we'll just go around the table. Mr. Rupert, you have?
Well, it's a busy time with back to school. Many of our schools have back to school events and similar things. I flipped burgers for the families at Parr Elementary a couple weeks ago. That was a good time. But I had the privilege of visiting Arvada High School during their back-to-school night. And I can tell you I experienced as a parent several years ago, as a grandparent, the same school at back-to-school night, and it was definitely not the same environment. And I'm really excited to report that the spirit in that school is uplifting and inspiring. The kids there are having a sense of ownership for their school and ownership of their education. There were a lot of parents there, and you could simply feel the energy in the place. And it was a big contrast, and it was a great testament to the leadership there. Tying to the conversation we had earlier, leadership in our schools really does matter. And I am really optimistic about what's going on at Arvada High School.
Thank you.
I love this time of the year, going back to school, all of the fall sports starting, the leadership, the clubs and activities, theater programs. I've also attended some back to school nights, and I love to see our communities in our buildings. And that to me is really uplifting, with the parents being there. Some kids, depending upon as you go up in the years, how many kids are, or fewer and fewer kids, perhaps at those, and seeing the staff and the changes. That's a really good point, that we continue to evolve. We continue to make changes in our buildings, in our client, in our cultures, and concepts to ensure that slide that you were talking about. Let's see. The only other things that I did generally, I think all of us attended the ribbon cuttings recently at Rose Stein and Three Creeks. Was very exciting. Thank you to our designers and the facilities, and again, the excitement in our communities to see what we can do when we come together to create incredible learning environments. And again, welcoming back the community from Rose Stein, and just so exciting to see the kids' faces, the young kids. Same with Three Creeks and the new environment. It's just, I don't know, it's thrilling. So I think that is about all I can think of.
I guess if we're just going around the table, I get to go next. Amanda, that means you're last, you know, Ms. Stevens. We're good? You know, it's this time of year, it's hard not to talk about the beginning of the school year and the excitement that is frankly associated with that. I have been able to attend some back-to-school nights, and, you know, the excitement, not only on the part of students, but on the part of their parents and on the part of teachers, it is sort of uplifting to go to a back-to-school night and watch school begin. I did have an opportunity to do that in several different schools this year. I loved the excitement, I loved the optimism, and I believe that Jefferson County Public Schools is very well positioned to move forward in a very positive direction. I want to comment about the City of Westminster State of the Union kind of lunch that we all attended, several of us attended. And you know, the City of Westminster just does some great long-range planning. And I want to compliment them on that. And as I sat there and listened to their mayor, I said, you know, we probably need to do some long-range planning in JeffCo too. And I enjoyed touring the Frank DeAngelis Safety Training Center, and with Dr. Glass and Amanda. And we also had Congresswoman Diana DeGette with us that day, she was trying to understand, you know, what that center is about. And I I frankly walked away believing that she was impressed with the work that we're doing there. It's been a good beginning, and I'll just leave it at that. Allie?
I was able to attend a couple of the meetings that you had with the teachers, which was great. And I want to refer to the recent, it's not up there still, the recent dropout meeting. I have to tell you, as an educator, it was, and a board member and a mom of teenagers, almost teenagers, it was the most fascinating meeting I have ever been to, and most valuable as an educator. These people ranged from age 16 to 24, and they were bright kids. They knew what was going on in life. They knew what was going on in this world. They had great ideas for us, and it all came down to, when I assess it as an educator, making learning relevant. They're just don't gloss over anything. I heard a couple of them say that several different times about health education and about what we're going to be meeting against when we graduate. And you know what life is really like. We need to be ready to go out there, whether we go to college or whether we get a job in this world. And we need to be prepared. And so it was just fascinating hearing them. They were, once they really realized you wanted to hear what they had to say, they were letting go. And what they were saying was great. And even a few cuss words here and there, right? But they were passionate. They valued, you know, connections in the classroom. The learning doesn't happen for any single one of them unless if there are connections with each other as students, with their teachers. And it just reinforced everything that deep inside I knew about education and something that I feel like has been lost the past 15 years in our test-crazed society. And that was just really a meaningful experience for me, and I'm so glad you had all of those meetings, and I wish I could have attended all of them. Three Creeks ribbon cutting was very, very meaningful as well. I mean, that was one of our very difficult first decisions that we made as a board. And, you know, I got to thank the facilities department for letting us understand the urgency of that. There were projections of that opening with 270 kids, and as of a month ago, it was 350. We made the right decision. The K-6 portion of that is pretty much full, and I'm really excited for, you know, and that's just a Band-Aid. We all know that. So I'm very proud of the cabinet recommendation there and our board for making that decision. I had my kids were on the swim team. One of the other parents is a teacher at Wheat Ridge in the Career Explorer program, so I got an earful about, and I got to see their annual report, and I got to tell you, I'm just so proud. This was their pilot program, and they had 28 at-risk students in it that were not on a pathway for graduation at all. 11 of them were seniors, 17 of them were juniors. All seniors graduated. 82% of the juniors reapplied for the program and are there this year, and I'm very excited for the work they have done with our very at-risk kids. Great things happening in Jeffco. I'm proud of our growth reports. I know there's a lot more work to do, but I feel like we have that growth mindset, and we're going to embrace the work that we need to do, and we're ready to move forward, and I'm very excited. More excited than I've been in 27 years of teaching and being a board member. So everyone, please stay engaged, because that's what is going to make it happen.
Ms. Stevens.
So in addition to some of those meetings that were mentioned, which were wonderful, like listening to those resilient students that reconnected with high school after leaving, I want to mention some of the partnerships that were highlights for me over the last couple months when I and my family were enjoying our summer vacation and the kids were enjoying sleeping a little bit. I knew that a lot of hard work was going on. I was able to attend a recent Jeffco Schools Foundation board meeting. I know that JCEL, the Jeffco Summer of Early Literacy Program, continued this year, made sure that there was food for families, made sure that the learning was engaging and that we could continue to move forward those students who were not yet at grade level so that by the time they hit third grade, they're ready to rock and roll as people who have learned to read and know how to read to learn. I also know that both Jeffco Schools Foundation and the Jeffco Community Center and the Edgewater Collective effort in the Jefferson Success Pathway worked hard to bridge a number of our graduating seniors who are first-generation high school graduates or first-generation college attenders so that they could bridge successfully to many of them Red Rocks Community College and launch into strong, successful careers from there. I also want to know that, or want to mention that as a parent and as an educator and as a board member, I'm very inspired and uplifted by the beginning of the school year, but I also have two young kids who get nervous, and I think we forget sometimes the trepidation and anxiety that comes with the beginning of the school year. I have a child who navigated the middle school transition, and I saw partnerships there make a difference as well. For example, in the city of Lakewood, the Rec Center and our police department are partnering for middle school after-school programming, as well as some of the sports that are now available after school in middle school. So in addition to our amazing teachers, support staff, and leaders, we've got people in the community trying to connect and find ways to make sure learning, conditions for learning, and readiness to learn are happening. So want to highlight their efforts and thank all of those partners.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Glass and board. We move now to public correspondence. I do want to let you know that public correspondence received by the board is available in a book on the table outside of this boardroom in the lobby. And then we move to public comment part one. I don't quite know how to handle this agenda because it's never happened to me in the last 2 years that we have not had people signed up for public comment part one. But that is exactly where we are this evening, unless I have a mistake. So is there anyone in the room who wants to raise their hand and say, I did sign up? I don't think so. Okay, my records are accurate. We are going to move beyond public comment. And we'll go next then to item 7 on our agenda, which is our consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve our consent agenda?
The items on the consent agenda be approved as presented.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the consent agenda be approved as presented. Any discussion?
I do want to briefly personally comment on consent agenda item 7.05, the resolution on free expression, inclusion, tolerance, and civic engagement in Jeffco Public Schools. I simply want to say the dignity and dreams of all our students, each and every one, are worthy of our highest priority and protection. Crisis and conflict can open up cracks that children and young people may fall through. And to my fellow board members, Dr. Glass, staff, students, and community members in Jefferson County, thank you for leading with a culture of care, mutual respect, and unified effort. This is a journey for us, not us versus them. Our differences in ideas, backgrounds, identities, and opinions are gifts greater than the challenges some associate with them, and they must be navigated with grace, never hate. May we always count much more in common in our work to see our students thrive in learning and life now and into their futures. So I'm very proud to reaffirm with this resolution that Jeffco remains committed to being and will continue to work to fully realize a safe and welcoming environment for all students. Students, you are a gift to us. When a policy treats you as a target or a political tool, I will oppose it. I don't require you to be extraordinary to have my support. It's enough that you're fellow humans and fellow learners, but you prove time and again to me that you are extraordinary, and I celebrate you. It's our duty and honor to help you develop your gifts and prepare for your future.
Thank you. Other discussion? Roll call, please.
Ms. Harmon.
Yes.
Ms. LaSalle.
Yes.
Mr. Mitchell.
Yes.
Mr. Rupert.
Yes.
Ms. Stevens.
Yes.
Consent agenda is unanimously approved. The fact that we are not doing public comment part one is truly messing with my notes and schedule for the evening. However, as I'm looking at the rest of our agenda, the next item will be a 45-minute agenda, and then we probably can finish the board meeting fairly reasonably after that. And so I am going to suggest that we can take a short break here, and then we will finish all the agenda items this evening. Thank you.